It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so last night, essentially I tried Skippy peanut butter for the first time.
You've never had Skippy peanut butter?
I can't say that for certain.
Okay.
But it's the first time I knowingly had
Skippy.
If I had it, I either didn't know it was Skippy or it was a really long time ago.
Okay.
But I needed more peanut butter. My wife went shopping because I was sick at the time, and she got me Skippy because it was on sale. Whatever.
That's what we had growing up, Skippy.
Then you are familiar with what person comes to mind when you think of Skippy peanut butter.
No.
Who's the spokesperson for Skippy peanut butter?
I don't know.
For decades.
I don't know.
Annette Funicello.
Really?
Yeah, she was the Skippy mom, basically.
Oh.
And for me, at least, I knew her from that more than I knew her from anything else.
I guess I just don't remember that.
She was the lady on the Skippy commercials.
Well, anyway, we had Skippy at home. That's what we ate.
So, last night, I made peanut butter jelly, and I had it. And I was disappointed. I mean, it's fine. But, okay, and here's where it gets weird. You're going to think I'm being gross. I'm not. Like, it just sounds like that. But I don't know how else to put this. I expected it to taste more like Annette Funicello than it did.
I don't know what that means.
Exactly. And I don't entirely either. But I'm just like, because I so strongly associate her with Skippy peanut butter, it's like, it's her peanut butter, and, like, she gave it to me, and, like, she makes it or whatever. And this is not, it didn't taste like what I thought Annette Funicello's peanut butter would taste like. It pretty much just tasted like peanut butter.
Well, I mean, we had Skippy's, what Mom bought, don't know why. I would go to other people's houses, and they might have something else. Jif was a very popular peanut butter for people to have.
I had a lot of Jif.
Because
we knew a lot of house brand, and that's what we get now, too.
We knew a lot of choosy mothers, I guess.
Yeah.
And to me, it all tasted the same.
Never had Peter Pan.
I think I probably had that, too. Now, the only peanut butter I ever had that tasted decidedly different to me was, like, fresh ground peanut butter, which is what I eat now.
And we had a phase in my house where we had Adams, which was just that.
Basically that, yeah.
Yeah, their commercials were always that they started in the beginning. There was a very simple recipe for peanuts, and it was this like stop motion thing, and you just had a peanut on like a stump, and there's a little caveman, and they were like peanuts roasted, lightly salted, and smash them, and then an elephant would fall from like nowhere. And Adams, and they're like, we have modernized this a little bit, but the recipe's still the same. And it was this factory with an assembly line, and peanuts were going in one side, and you would hear elephants go, and jars would come out the other side. And it was the kind you had to stir up.
Yeah, you gotta stir it, because it separates.
Except, here's the thing, everybody's like, it's such a pain in the butt, you have to stir it up. You have to stir it up once, and then just keep it in the fridge.
Yeah, then it won't
separate. And
then it
never separates again.
That's right.
But yeah, so we had a phase of that, but mostly it was house brand, and sometimes it was Jif, and now it's always house brand for me. And the thing is, it's because we have two peanut butters. Trish is a crunchy girl, and I grew up with crunchy, but I tend to prefer creamy.
Yeah, we always had Skippy creamy, but there was, you know, we had
crunchy girl. I don't know what it is. I think it's that thing I have. Certain foods, I like a purity of taste to it. And to me, chunks of peanut are different from peanut butter, and I just want the peanut butter.
No, I get it. I get it. And like I said, we had creamy when I was growing up, and now that we eat, like, the only peanut butter we eat is like this Adams you're talking about, it always has little flecks of peanuts.
Yeah.
Always does.
Well, it tends to be a rougher crunch.
It's not really, I wouldn't say it's as like, crunchy, like crunchy peanut butter, but it's not smooth.
It hasn't been liquefied to the same degree that
these other ones.
So, yeah, so I guess I grew up mostly eating peanut butter, very different from what I eat now. But I like peanut butter that's not sweetened and that's not heavily processed.
I didn't like all peanut butter.
It tastes better to me that way.
I never did get it. When they finally came out with Reese's peanut butter, like in jars, I was like, that's awesome. But I never
had. Well, I think if I had Skippy now, I would have a hard time tasting the peanut. I just taste the sugar, I think.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be a rough night. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that plumps when you cook it.
Is this a cough drop?
It might be, if it is, it's an old one. But better than nothing. All right, people.
I just didn't know if it would help you.
My name's Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 360.
So, I sound horrible.
You do sound pretty bad, I have to say.
And the funny thing is, I'm not that bad.
That you don't feel bad.
I've been back to work for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I still have something of a cough. I still take meds when I go to sleep, so I don't cough, because when you lay down, it tends to be worse.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not feverish. I'm not contagious or anything at this point. I don't feel sick. I feel fine. It's just sticking around. And the cough I'm used to frequently with this kind of thing, cough will stick around for a couple months probably.
Sure.
But I don't know what the hell's happening with my voice. It's like stuck this way.
Laryngitis, I guess.
I should say, actually, I sound better today than I have recently.
Really?
This is a little bit of an improvement. But yeah, so I had, well, as you all know at this, okay, let's get to the other way. Here's how the show works.
You cough a lot.
We have a cough. It's magical. we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I've got it right here.
Okay, I was going to say, where did that go?
People like yourselves, cool people, hopefully people that are not suffering with coughs and bad voices, write in to the email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, things like that. We need these to keep the show going, and so they do that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its extremely bad-voiced servants, draw the note cards out of that at random, read them on the air, talk about them for about an hour, or talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show.
That's the show.
And this is the first time in like a month that we've actually gotten together.
Yeah, it's been rough. Weather, illness.
Yeah, it went weather, vacation.
Which we had covered.
Well, sort of evil. Because we would have recorded our own for the vacation, but we couldn't record our own. We were going to record two the night we couldn't
record one. That's right.
And so we had to use, so that's why Trish and I did our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the evil guys had to step in on vacation. And then, the day after I came back from Disney World, this hit me. And it's a doozy, people. Like, whether or not I got the flu shot, all that. Still, this is a hell of a flu this year. Got Trish. Trish was out for 3 days of work, which may literally have never happened since I married her. I was out for 4 days plus 2.5 days that weren't work.
Wow.
Yeah, and even then, when I went back to work the first few days, by the end of the day, I had the sweats and I was messed up. Like,
wow.
It's rough. So, yeah, you didn't come last week because I told you, you should not.
Yeah, yeah. I was worried about maybe getting sick myself and getting my wife sick.
So, last week was our first time without a new episode, but we did have an old episode. Not too many people have said a lot about it. My boss said we both sound younger and variations on... We sound more world-weary now, basically.
That's what I thought, too. When I listened to it myself, and I thought, boy, we sound so different now because, well, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
A perfect way to describe it, I mean, world-weary.
And I don't want to speculate too much on your side of things. I think for me, I mean, part of it is I am. But also, back then, That was early in the show. I was still trying to turn this into the next big thing that was going to make us super internet famous. So I think I was much more focused on the show format and performing and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays I'm like, fuck it, hit record. What happens for an hour happens.
We'd only done it for 10 months at that point.
Yeah.
It was our first mystery episode. So, when I listened to it, I thought, wow, this is very, we sound so much more hopeful or something. Yes. I mean, it's weird.
Not beaten down.
Yeah, not beaten down by the world. Yep, definitely, definitely.
But so I'm glad we could still, it would have felt weird. I'm glad you came up with that idea. Because I had just assumed we'd have nothing, and I put a little article on the blog, but a lot of people don't even go to the blog. They just, you know, download it or whatever. And I would have felt weird about that.
Well, you know, TV shows used to be, you needed 100 of them, and you could go into syndication.
Yeah.
Now it's, someone figured out that was dumb, because that's basically roughly 4.5 seasons. Why not just make it either five seasons or four?
Yeah, I think it's 75 episodes.
It's 88.
Okay.
So it's four seasons.
12-22.
It's cutting it off at the season mark and not saying, let's have half a season more and you can go into syndication. And there are a lot of people who started in the middle, so they might not even have ever heard that episode.
Oh, a lot of people. A lot of people have not heard that episode. And even for those who have, it's 6 years ago, you know. It's kind of fun to compare
I didn't remember anything about it at all. So it was like listening to a new episode to me.
And honestly, it's a relief.
Yeah.
I've had this stress in the back of my head, like, someday it's going to happen.
It's 7 years, almost a whole 7 years.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, anytime, oh, what could, oh, and now I'm like,
well, but
it didn't matter, it's fine.
And if it was,
especially since we were just immediately back.
Yeah, like, well, and if it's going to happen, happening now after almost 7 years, when, like you said, we can just, let's just put an old one up there that some people have never heard.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
works just as good.
Yeah.
And so that's another
hopefully
thing.
Hopefully it will be many years before we have to do that again.
Yeah, because we'll still, you know, we'll still make backups and stuff.
And I don't want this to become a habit.
No, no.
I'm just get lazy on it, but.
But at least we know we do have this option if it comes up. Like, I hope that if it's, that the next time this happens, the producer can step in again, because everyone seemed to like that.
That they did seem to enjoy that a lot.
Yeah. So
you
we've
both
got
were very different, I've been told. And honestly, I think some of that is personality. Some of it is, and it's weird. I didn't notice it until I was. I mean, she did a great job. It was wonderful. I do want to do that again.
Yeah.
It was fun, and it was a dynamic that you and I don't have, and that was fun. She clearly hasn't been podcasting for 7 years. Like, there's just a pattern and a, but I don't know. I was like, apparently you and I have learned a lot, because for some reason I could really tell the difference with her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, apparently we've picked up things in the time we've done this.
I suppose so. I was
I wasn't aware.
What interested me, and this is usual for me actually with all things, were the similarities more than the differences. Because I listened and I thought, wow, I wonder if anyone new to the podcast listening, if they listened to a few podcasts where there were no clues to the contrary, if they'd wonder if you and I were a couple. I mean, because of the way we interact.
I could see that.
Maybe even particular in the way we interact as men. Because that maybe we interact in a way that
is
men
true.
Aren't
well,
typically allowed to interact. You know what I'm saying?
There's definitely a level of that. I try and cultivate that with all of my male friendships, because the way men typically act with each other tends to suck.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
And also I like, you know, sticking it to gender conformity in general.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's either because we're getting along especially well, or maybe because of when we're not. And how we interact in those
situations. I can see that. I mean, it would have to be certain episodes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because especially if we get into the realm of sex, the way I talk and the way you don't talk, there would be a lot more teasing on my end that made it very clear we were a couple was there.
Right, that's right, that's right.
But you're right. With like outside of that, I've never thought of that, but I think you're right. I think some people might guess that.
Yeah, I was just, because as I was listening to the two of you, it's like, oh, here's an aspect of this that if someone's listening, they could probably tell you guys are a couple and maybe even married, like, because there's a big difference. I mean, a lot of people don't think there's a difference, but there is when you're married.
Oh, definitely.
And not married. And then it occurred to me,
Marriage meaning long-term committed relationship, people. We're not saying there's something magic about
that. No, that's right. That's what I mean. Yeah. But, and then I realized that, well, there's some similarities between you and me that way, too, in some ways that we interact where people might think that, you know, they've got a kind of a synergy or something, you know, that usually belongs to people who live together or who...
I think it's funny also because some of it may just be that it would be you because there are certain things Trish does that you don't do that I associate with because we're married, but I'm like, you wouldn't do those with your wife either.
No, right.
Which is a lot of her telling me about me and like, no, here's what you do. Like, I'm like, you would never do that even with your spouse.
No,
so
that's true.
That could throw people off too.
Yeah. So I really loved the episode with you and Trish. And again,
very pleased with it.
We've got all these options that besides posting an old episode that we'll always try to go for first.
Trish actually... said after we had decided, she was like, I could probably, like, she wasn't feeling very good still, but she's like, I could probably make that. And I was like, no, you know what? Now the decision's made, I feel the weight lifting off my shoulders. I'm like, we're just going to go with this.
And I think it worked out. I mean, only Craig made a mention of it, and he seemed to think it was a good idea.
Well, and the only reason you don't do that from a public perspective is... you need new content to keep your listeners and or grow new listeners.
Sure, right.
1 week playing an episode from 6 years ago in isolation shouldn't impact any of that.
Yeah.
And also, we've got like 6 listeners. If that causes us to lose one who somehow has been sticking with us this whole time, that's kind of insane, and I think that's on them.
But we've got a huge catalog, let's face
Absolutely.
It. And
none of it any good.
No, none of it any good. I listened to it. It got in my head that, well, maybe a good, you know, if we're going to play an old one, a good watershed moment or a good, you know, decisive moment in the history of the show would be the first mystery episode. So I thought, well, I'll just listen to it, see if it's any good. And it wasn't half bad. We were having a good time. I was laughing at it out loud myself a lot of times. I thought, you know what, this might work. I hope people, even people who have heard it before. They've been listening since the beginning, so they know they have listened to it. Go back and listen to it again and realize that they've forgotten all about it. And maybe
our main contender, if we could have found it, was the funnel cake.
Yeah, which we don't know.
Which is hilarious, because this last Tuesday, hanging out with my friends, he went off about Long John Silver's, because he worked there in high school.
Okay.
And I forget what specific thing, but there was one thing that he just went off on her, and I'm like... You sound exactly like William with the funnel cakes.
Yep. I don't know which episode that was. There was also the episode where I talked about the guy who passed away when I was working at the furniture
store. Yeah, you keep killing people and shit, but...
Yeah. And I don't remember what episode that was, but...
I almost went with the Vomit Goblins one, because I don't remember anything about that episode, except we came up with Vomit Goblins.
And it was funny.
And I'm like, that's good.
And there's also the episode where we talked about paranormal experiences... Which I don't recall that being particularly funny, but I
know it was very interesting.
But it was a serious episode that I think a lot of people liked, or you seemed to like.
I thought it was very interesting.
I don't know which one that is either. So
we'll save those for the next time we fuck up irrevocably,
which we hope is never again. But when it is, we'll.
I'm not even gonna say that much. I hope it will be away quite a while from now. So how has your month been? How has your year been?
I mean, yeah, exactly. Well, I do have a lot to talk about, but it seems like you've got more to talk about than me, except that your voice isn't very good, so you probably don't want to talk about those things.
Oh, Ezzy really needs a claws trim. I mean, we can't get too far out. I got to talk about Disney.
Yeah, so why don't we just go ahead and start with that?
Otherwise, that's only the real big thing. I haven't got a lot of movies. I've seen a lot of movies. I don't have a lot to talk about with those.
Okay.
I'm still playing Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm about 60 hours in. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to end up being my new... favorite video game, full stop.
So you like it that much?
Yes. I'm reserving judgment till I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just the right combination of action, RPG, engrossing story, and world building.
Well, yeah, my wife liked it. Didn't think it had the same vibe as the first games, but she's still
Yeah, which I'm, yeah, it still feels very similar. And I'm at the point because I've got Stu. Stu's back to playing it because of me. And so I'm literally talking about things happening with my crew and their relationships and stuff like it's real stuff. Because there's some really fascinating relationships. Sure. I'm switching them out constantly, and they have so much dialogue amongst them while you're driving around in the Nomad.
Yeah, they really
Every combination does, and it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And people get their feelings hurt, and other people that I'm like, I feel like they've got a thing that's forming, and some great friendships that are completely independent of my character, mm-hmm. and I love those. And, so I really enjoy this stuff. And it's, you know, I keep wanting to be like, oh, what about like Fallout 4? And Fallout 4 is great. I like more story.
Yeah.
Because it feels like I'm doing something.
Right, right, right.
Don't get me wrong, I love Fallout 4.
Yeah.
But if I have my druthers, a little more focus, a little more story.
Sure, sure.
Which this is definitely that.
Sure, sure, sure.
So yeah, I'm still loving it. Anyway, but let's talk about Disney. Went to Disney World.
Was this your first time?
Yes.
Okay.
When I was a child, 10, 12, somewhere around there, my brother and his girlfriend at the time took me on a surprise trip to Disneyland.
Okay.
We drove down from Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and were there 3-4 days maybe, and then drove back.
Wow.
Yeah, I was supposed to go stay with him for like the weekend, and it was a big trick. They showed up, and like everybody knew, and so like, let's sit down. I'm like, no, let's go. It's like, so where are you going to go? He's like, well, we're going to leave here and head south. And I'm like, south, what? And this whole thing. So yeah. So I have those memories, but you know, I was a little kid then. Never been to Disney World. Okay, full disclosure, I think we can get this out here because I did have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was loath to sort of talk about this before because some of my relatives listen, and this was a present from my in-laws,
mm-hmm.
that was actually supposed to be last year. The whole family went,
mm-hmm.
but then we got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't go, so then we went this year. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and my youngest sister-in-law all went this time.
Okay.
So we had no actual kids.
Oh. That's a very interesting thing when you go without kids.
Yes. But they're largely Disney freaks, so that helped. I was not looking forward to it.
Oh, really?
I was very nervous. Dreading might be too strong of a word, but maybe not.
Well, I know you like the whole walking around a lot thing.
Thought it was going to be very physically taxing, and yeah. I was not wrong.
Yeah.
I had to train before it. I was going to the gym and walking, just walking straight, so I could just get into that rhythm.
Mm.
It still was not enough. I did have some times I came home and there was blood soaking through my sock.
Oh, no.
It was a lot of walking. But also, just everything about it seemed not my kind of thing on so many levels. Crowds.
Yep.
I don't like crowds. And I like them less as I get older.
Right. Right. Same here.
I'm not good. The physically demanding also extends to standing in line. I'm not good at that.
Mm.
Yeah,
me neither.
I don't like being too hot.
We have more in common than I thought.
And then just Disney. I have a largely negative relationship with Disney.
Again.
I see the strings at this point.
Yeah.
They are not a magical, family, joyous thing. They are an incredibly heartless, ambitious corporation taking over huge swaths of our culture.
Yeah.
Largely with a bunch of kids' movies that tell some horrible messages.
Again, you and I are in complete agreement here.
In almost single-handedly responsible for some of the fucked up tropes our society has about romance.
Agreed.
Because of some of this bullshit here.
And gender associated with that.
Yes, yes. And it just, and really, they will sue the shit out of people over things. Like, they're Disney's not a nice thing. And I was just like, yeah, and so we're going to have this weird cardboard veneer of everybody being happy and magical. And everybody's like, oh, the kids love it and all this. No, the kids are going to be screaming and crying and their ice cream fell down and the parents are going to be like, God damn it, you begged us for so long to come here. You're going to stand in this goddamn line and we're going to go on this stupid 3-minute ride and you're going to enjoy it whether you like it or not. Like, this is what I'm picturing.
Right, right.
All of that happened. Do not get me wrong.
Yeah.
All of that is there.
Yep, yep.
But there's other stuff. And, you know, it's, I mean, you have the privilege to be able to do it, but you can sort of ignore the background sometimes, and there's some really, I mean, there's lots of stuff to do, and it's very fun. It's very, you are very well taken care of. There are various, very similar vibes to
like a cruise ship,
a cruise, yeah. Because you get to the airport in Orlando. If you checked bags, you have these little things they gave you that say Disney on them. You don't even pick up your bags. They'll be in your room when you get there. You go in line and you get on a bus that takes you right to where your resort is.
Mm-hmm.
And you check in and they give you the magic band.
Mm-hmm.
And the magic band is all you need for your entire time.
Mm-hmm.
This gets you on buses. This gets you food. This has a credit card hooked to it if you want to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
I literally didn't use my wallet for the entire trip.
Right, right.
And there's, you know, there's buses and monorails and other things that connect you if you want to, because there's like 4 different parks,
mm-hmm.
and 27 different resorts,
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff. And you are so secure to the degree that when we fucked something up and we accidentally went to a place where all you had were actual buses and taxis for the city, I freaked the fuck out. It didn't help that we had no money, so we couldn't make it work. So we had to go around like
where do
but
I go?
That
what
was
do I
the
do?
One traumatic, really traumatic time, yeah. Was I'm stuck. I'm not taken care of now.
Yeah.
But there were things. There were definitely things that other people fell in love with, and I'm like, no, I did see the strings. I mean, Trish loves the Fantasmic show at the Hollywood Studios, which is this big water thing that happens at night with a bunch of lights and
well, yeah, I've
water
seen that.
Fountains.
Yep, we saw that when we were there.
And the premise is supposed to be Mickey's making all this stuff with his imagination,
mm-hmm.
and then the villains show up and they make things scary, but then he saves it all. And some of it was cool. It was still rather problematic in places, and also a whole bunch of it is just they spray water and they project shots from a cartoon on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I'm like, I'm cold, it's late, I've seen this movie before, what are we doing? But the parts that weren't like that were awesome. But, like, that kind of stuff. But then there's stuff like 3 p.m. They have the Main Street Fantasy Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit down for that. And this was our day in the Magic Kingdom. We had one day in each park. And it went down the thing. And it was stupid and commercial as you could ever believe. Every princess had her own float. There were all these dancers. They sang this annoying song and all this. And it got me a little bit. I got excited where I'm like, oh, here comes Tinkerbell. Oh, look, there's Merida. And like it got my inner child a little bit that time. And there were a few things like that that got me. But also what I discovered, and I should have thought about it before, is I do love it in the same way that I love going to Mall of America the day after Thanksgiving.
Mm.
Culturally, it's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the kids believe it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they love it.
Mm-hmm.
And my inner child may be dead. My capacity for wonder, that's fine. My appreciation of others' child's and capacity for wonder is not dead.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, every other aspect aside, I would probably make a better cast member than I would guest at a Disney park. Because I like watching other people experiencing that joy. And they really do. And adults, too. Adults get blown away by stuff. And, like, okay, I'm going to tell you. Here's one of the most fun things I did.
Okay.
And I guarantee you, you never did it. Nobody else has done this at Disney World. I invented this. And it was one of the most fun things I did.
Okay.
The first day we're in a park, it was Hollywood Studios. Not a great park. It's mostly about Star Wars stuff.
and a little about Toy Story and Little Muppets. It's not that interesting. There's not a lot to do. Whatever. It was fine. We had a good day. Did Star Tours, which I had my eyes open for 15 seconds of, and then literally had them closed the whole rest of the time or I was going to puke. I heard it was good, though. So we're leaving Star Tours, and I didn't puke, barely. And Trisha's like, do you need to sit down? I'm like, no, I need to get outside. Mm-hmm. I need fresh air.
Right, fresh air, right.
Holding my stomach. Yep, yep. Of course, you have to go out through the gift shop.
Yeah, right.
Gift shop's big, all this crap. And part of me's looking as I'm stumbling out because I got to get outside or I'll puke. You know, there's a thing where you can build your own droids. They have the little different parts and you can stick them together and all this. And they got stuffed Porgs because, of course, they got stuffed Porgs.
Sure, sure.
And they got stuffed Ewoks. And wait a second, stuffed Ewoks. There's a stuffed Wicket.
Is there?
Yep. About 8 inches tall.
Okay.
Fuck, I need that. So I'm still holding my stomach. Trish has left the gift shop. I'm still feeling sick. But I grab it, and I stumble over to the nearest. I'm like, can I buy this from you? And he's like, no, we're not open. You have to go over there. So I go over there, and I'm like, can I buy this? He's like, sure. And he rings. I have no idea how much it costs. And he says, that will be 1,799 pennies. I'm just like, fuck you. Because I'm still going to puke. But I'm like, okay, then I beep my little thing, and it's fine. And I take it, and I put him in my pocket because I have a big breast pocket. So I stick his feet in there.
Oh, cute.
He's just hanging out there.
That's cute.
And I had him. And then I went and I sat down so I wouldn't throw up. Anyway, he's in my pocket all day. It's great. I should have brought him out here so you could see him.
Yeah, I would love that.
Excuse me. Wicket D. Warwick, which I did not realize was his full name.
No way.
Yes. Because it's named after Warwick Davis, who played him. Yeah,
that was his first big role.
Wicket D. Warwick. It says it on the
deck. That is hilarious.
I kept putting him in different positions so when housekeeping would show up, he'd be in thing. But anyway, so we finished that night. Hollywood Studios. Fantasmic was the last thing.
Okay.
It's dark. It's late. We're getting ready to leave. They had told us, cast members had told us, there's this bakery in the park on Sunset Boulevard heading out. Sunset Boulevard's like Main Street, but for that park.
Okay.
Sells these things, they call them carrot cake muffins.
Okay.
And they're amazing, supposedly. BS, they were amazing, they were huge, whatever. We ate them the next day because we were kind of full. But anyway, we're like, we're going to get these on the way out. So we get there, and there's a big line, because a bunch of people leave right after Fantasmic. And I'm hurting. All right, she's like, do you want to go sit down while I'm in line? I'm like, yeah. So she goes in, and I sit on a bench, Sunset Boulevard. It's a great place to watch. It's cool anyway, but there's, like, people. There's tons of people
walking by.
Leaving, going back and forth, da-da-da-da. So I sit there, and after a minute, just to amuse myself, I take Wicket out, and I'm, like, petting him and stuff like that. And then I take his arm. And I started having him wave at people. And I did this probably 20 minutes, waving at everybody. And I got every reaction in the world. I got people who looked at me like I was a lunatic, both children and adults. I had people who just grinned at me and really like. I had people who waved back. I had kids who were really uncertain at first, and then they waved back. I had this one guy, like 6'5", with his adult family, saw me and made them all stop and point and look as the little waving Wicket. It was awesome. It was one of my favorite things. Just sat there and just Wicket waved at everybody. I'm sure some of them thought I was with the park. Like, no, it was great. So I had a lot of fun with that. But, so we did Hollywood Studios. And the Muppet stuff was very cool at Hollywood Studios.
Yep, that's my favorite thing there.
Second day was Magic Kingdom, which is probably my favorite. It's the day we did the most things.
Yeah.
It was a lot to do. Jungle Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean. We did It's a Small World. We did Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion, fascinating for me.
Love it.
I love Haunted Mansion, too. I went on it at Disneyland, and that was my first haunted house because I was terrified of that kind of stuff when I was little.
Mm.
They had to coax me into it, and it was still like spooky, but it wasn't bad. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This time, I was amazed. I had zero anxiety I wasn't tense at all through the whole thing.
Oh, do you expect you would have been?
Yeah, just nervous, you know, just hyped up. Things are going to jump out. It's going to be spooky. It's going to get dark. None of that.
Huh.
I just watched and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, oh, that looks really neat.
Yeah.
And I did pay attention when you're going through the graveyard part. I'm like, okay, I know things jump up at you. So I'd watch, and one of them did it right when I was there, but I knew it was coming, and it was fine. Like, I was amazed at how chill I was. I expected to enjoy it, but just, you know, be a little antsy or whatever. Yeah. No, not at all. So I was cool. But yeah, so it was fun, and we did a lot of cool stuff there, and we saw the parade, which, much to my surprise, was a big deal for me and all that. By the way, Disney World has all the casual racism. Everywhere. So bad.
Casual racism?
Yes. Everywhere.
Hmm.
In the form of mostly stereotypes and exoticization.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Of things. That's right. You're exactly right.
Jungle Cruise has all the cannibal bullshit.
Yeah.
The Tiki 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 Room, which Trish loves, which is stupid as hell, has got some weird shit in it. Although the Disney World one doesn't have the angry tiki gods, so it's a little less racist. It's a Small World is shockingly racist, and I remember it being pretty racist.
I'm sure it's exactly as it was before.
They all end in heaven wearing white. Everybody's wearing white. There's one Italian kid, and you know he's Italian because he's a gondolier. Like, it's fucked up. And, like, Epcot has, like, the World Pavilion, and they don't have any African nations, but they do have this one little section called The Outpost that has a lot of generic shit like that and has Headhunter drums playing in the background. Holy shit. Which is amazing, because not only are the guests incredibly diverse from all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
The cast members are incredibly diverse.
That's right.
That was what amazed me, is going to places, and like in Epcot, you get it. You know, there's a Japanese person working at the Japanese pavilion.
Yeah.
Makes sense. There was an Australian woman who was like the ticket taker and stuff for the Muppet 3D thing.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted to work at Disney. Like, yeah. And there she is. And apparently some of that is Orlando. Orlando is apparently very diverse.
Sure.
But that was amazing to me. Oh, and we did the sci-fi drive-in thing. At Hollywood Studios, they have a restaurant made to be a 50s sci-fi drive-in, and it's all dark, and you sit in a car, and they play old cartoons and and trailers for old sci-fi movies.
That's right.
Of which I had seen via Mystery Science Theater cases. So that was fun. But anyway, so Magic Kingdom, did all that weird racist stuff. But it was fun. It was a good time. Third day was Epcot. Epcot's pretty cool.
I love Epcot.
Epcot had the World Pavilion is fun. I got a decent beer in the UK Pavilion. That was nice. We had a really good dinner at the German restaurant there. We went on Soarin', which is a relatively new thing. It's a little like Star Tours, but it's just through, like, you get lifted up, so you're in the air, and then it's kind of like IMAX, but it's an entire, like, half dome around
sure,
you,
sure.
And so you're flying through, like, an episode of Planet Earth on BBC.
Oh, gotcha.
And that was very cool. My in-laws love that. That's their favorite thing, so we went on that. We went and saw a bunch of Pixar shorts, and that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was weird, because while you're waiting, they have a lot of, like, films about, like, the history and all that, and how Pixar came around, and what Pixar did, and all that kind of things, and it heavily has, John Lasseter.
Sure.
Who has just stepped away from Pixar for being, apparently, quite famously within the company, huge, creepy sexual predator guy. To the degree that they invented a particular stance called the Lasseter stance that women can hold so that they can avoid being groped by him when they're having to work with him.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I mean, I knew something was bad there, but no, I didn't know.
It's fucked up. And so I'm watching this, and I'm just like, what? This is not right. They should really have changed this.
Yeah.
So that was weird. But they saw, but there were some, they were movies I had not seen. It was really cool. We went on the Living with the Land thing where you get to see all the gardens in Epcot where they're working on solving world hunger and shit like that. Those were very cool.
Yep, very interesting.
Epcot in general was just very fun. I had a great meal, teppanyaki type meal at the Japanese place there, and that was really cool. Trish got a lot more pictures with characters. She got her picture taken with Mary Poppins and Snow White over there. That was fun. I ran into some drunk girls that were on a bachelorette party thing. Turned out, at the very last minute, I found out they were from Iowa City.
No kidding.
They thought that was amazing. And really wanted me to say Dilly Dilly, which I did. It's a thing from a beer commercial that apparently college kids think are funny. I had to look that up later. I had no idea what the fuck they were talking about. And one of those nights, we went to a restaurant at the Polynesian Resort, which was very cool. Again, super cultural appropriation, like, but it was a very cool place. I think I might actually enjoy staying at the Polynesian if I had a chance. And the fourth day, Animal Kingdom. Don't care. Don't give a fuck about Animal Kingdom. First of all, a lot of it's animals.
Well, yeah.
We don't want to see those.
Okay.
We don't do zoos and shit like that anymore. It's just not.
Oh, because
it's not nice. Yeah, yeah, right. It's not fun.
I got you.
And they're in these, you know, they get to run around and shit in the daytime. Then they are in these concrete enclosures at night. And if you're a sick animal, you stay in there all day. And, like, it's just not. And I'm not saying other people shouldn't or anything like that. We just don't get into that
anymore. I got you.
So we're not doing any of that. But there's a bunch of other cool shit going on.
Yeah.
There's a musical version of, you would have loved this, a musical version of Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo, kind of a crap story, but whatever. Musical version, singing is good, performance is good. It's sort of puppetry and sort of not. By which I mean they have puppets.
Yeah.
But very distinctly, some of the acting was with the puppet and some of the acting was the actor.
Okay.
It was a weird hybrid I'd never seen before. Because usually when you have these big puppets, like the puppeteer tries to sort of vanish.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Not only did that not happen, there are bits like sometimes the puppeteer is the one who's like gesticulating or pointing or whatever, and other times it was all being done with the puppet, and it sort of seamlessly switched, and it was fascinating.
Very interesting.
And we went to see Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Oh, sure.
Oh, it was disappointing.
Was it?
I mean, it was fine. It was cool. The outside stuff, what they built, looks cool. We went on the Navi River cruise. It was fine, but it was very. It was very much just a Disney ride. Like, it was a theme park ride.
Sure, sure.
And not a lot happened. And, you know, it was just a lot of use of fiber optics and neon cable to make things glow, you know, whatever. But it was cool. And then. So they have certain continents that have pavilions. They have an Asia section and whatever. And that day we were really sort of getting tired, so we did a lot of just sort of hanging out that day. But we ended at the Africa section, which I'm really nervous about because, again, I'm worried about the cultural appropriation.
Sure.
It was pretty fun. Like, they had a lot of music going. When we were there originally, there was this band playing, and they would play, and they had a couple of dancers, and then they would encourage all the kids and everything to come and dance with them. And everybody was just having a great time. And then we went to the Lion King show, which was this big dancing, tumbling, like, big variety show kind of thing, a lot of singing and stuff like that. And I don't give a fuck about the Lion King either, but it was fun. And they were really into, and here's the thing, like, the problem I always have is this person saying, because a lot of them are from where it's depicting.
Sure.
It's like, are you like, here, let me show you my culture?
Yeah.
Or are you like, hey, a rich white guy told me I should do this and tell you it's my culture?
Right, right.
And what I got to say is, if it's the second one, they're really good actors.
Mm.
And so they fool me. Mm. And that's what I want. Like, so I'm happy. And when we left there, we had a reservation for dinner, but it wasn't quite time yet. There's this guy playing out there, and he's playing this instrument I've never seen before in my life. It's called a kora. African harp is what it is.
Mm.
And it's got a big, it kind of looks like somebody took a lute and bent it slightly and then put harp strings on it.
Okay.
And so
it sounds like, you can make it sound like there's like three or four harps going.
Oh, wow.
And there's a massive percussive part because there's these sticks in it, so he just has to flick them, and it has a very serious like woodblock sound.
Sure,
and
sure.
So he was playing these amazing things on this, and it was fascinating, and we had never seen this instrument before, and it was super cool. And then we went to the restaurant, which was basically the last thing I did in Disney, because the next day I had to leave really early, go back to the airport, all that jazz. So we're at this restaurant. It's called the Tusker House.
Okay.
Again, not super psyched, because it's an African buffet.
Okay.
And I don't know any African food or care about African food.
Sure.
Well, I'm like, so it's, well, I don't know what we're going to eat, but I don't, you know, probably a lot of vegetables, but I don't like that. And the other thing I find out later... This is very popular with families, not because kids love African buffet. No, quite the opposite, in fact. But this restaurant has characters all the time. It has the safari versions of Mickey, Goofy, Donald, and Daisy, and they're just circulating around all the tables.
With, like, pith helmets on?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Although a lot of people don't, I mean, they don't like the whole right? helmet thing.
No, but so, and I'm like, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah, it is.
You
really
picked the most unchild friendly food, and that's where you stuck all the characters. All the kids want to go, but they don't want to eat anything. They had three kid stations that were very boring: mac and cheese, sliced ham, shit like that. And what's hilarious is how many adults were going there. Also, but the food was fucking amazing.
Okay.
Things I had never heard of. Also, great salmon, this pork shoulder that was unbelievable. All these great sauces. A lot of stuff with cornmeal that I'd never had. Mealy pap, which was like a porridge kind of thing. 8,000 different kinds of bread from various grains. Hummus, baba ganoush. Amazing couscous. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. I ate way too much. And I really had fun, like, with the characters and stuff, because they came by, and we talked, but we're not kids, so we talked to them like grown-ups, and we just started playing, like, games and shit with them. So, like, Trish had this thing, she'd see Mickey, and she's like, I know what you did, and Mickey looked, like, real nervous. And I, like, she left at one point. Girls fucking love Goofy, like, little girls.
Oh.
I don't understand this.
I mean,
don't get me wrong, they love all, but like, something about it, because there was this baby, and they let Goofy hold the baby, and the baby was looking at him like a believer looks at God. She was just in ecstatic, just staring at him as well. And there was this other girl, Goofy showed up, and she got so excited, she hurt herself, and it slowed her down for a second and a half. She was like, Goofy, 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 ow, ow. Oh, Goofy, Goofy, Goofy. And when he tried to leave, like, she wouldn't let him go. He was, like, dragging her along. And Trish goes to the bathroom. And Goofy comes over to me. Goofy just sits down in her chair.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, dude, girls love you. And I was like, that one over there, wait about 20 years and marry that one. Because she loves you. And the other girl, like, our waiter, I start talking to him. I'm like, I am super full. I can't have any more. I haven't had dessert. So I'm going to get one dessert. What is it? And he's like, okay, you go and you get the banana pudding with the vanilla sauce, the banana bread pudding with the vanilla sauce. He's like, then take a chocolate chip cookie, also put the vanilla sauce on it. And I'm like, God damn it, that's two. But okay. I go, and I tell the other ones too. And I tell like other employees, I was like, I asked Brett and he says this. And they're like, yeah, the banana pudding. I'm like, and then he said, I get a chocolate chip cookie. She's like, oh, my Lord. And then I told him, they were making fun of him, and he's just so excited, and we're talking about the things we like, and I said, this restaurant's amazing, and all this stuff. And and they're like, oh, nobody ever listens to Brent. He's just so excited somebody's listening to him. But I start talking to everybody. Like, at one point, Daisy comes back around, and Daisy, she had audible kisses. Like, she kissed me on the cheek, and you could hit, the person inside went,
oh.
Which was funny. But I didn't drink a lot, but a couple times I had a cocktail with my meal, and this was one of those times, and it hit me harder than I thought. I may have admitted to Daisy Duck that she was my first anthropomorphic crush. She really liked that idea, but she has a handler there too, you know, when we're talking, and I'm just like, Minnie was created already being Mickey's girlfriend.
Mm.
Daisy was never that. Daisy
is who Donald wants, but a great deal of time he spends pursuing her, and sometimes he succeeds and sometimes he fails. But she's her own woman, and they're like, yeah, no, there's no ring on there. And she holds out her hand. And there was just all this with the staff, and I hope I'm not just a different kind of annoying customer. I hope that this is a nice change because there's no kids involved and it's like grown-ups. And it was just really fun, and the food was amazing. And so that was, and there was moments like that. There was just really fun times like that, interspersed with, yeah, everything I was afraid would happen. So it's like a weird mix. Like, if somebody's like, let's go back, I'll be like, okay. But I'm never going to be like, when are we going back to Disney World? But I guess I recommend it. I mean, if you think that could work for you. It's not cheap either.
No.
But yeah, I guess I recommend it. I had a good time, and it's had a lot of memories stuck with me so far. A lot of good pictures.
There's, if you, we went to an Italian restaurant in the Magic Kingdom that was supposed to be the restaurant that Lady and the Tramp ate, you know, had their spaghetti behind. That was amazing.
Most of the food was really, really good.
I'm
to the degree that when I got food that was more what I would expect, I was really disappointed.
No, yeah. I mean, you can
most
get
of the food was really
you can get amusement park fare there, hamburgers, whatever. But if you go to a restaurant, you're going to feel like you're eating at the best restaurant, like the best Italian restaurant or the best whatever they're serving. You're going to feel like you're eating the best, because I was amazed every place we ate. And and it made me kind of disappointed at that time that we couldn't eat at more places, you know?
Yeah.
Epcot, all the restaurants are great.
Oh, yeah.
But even in Magic Kingdom, if you go to a restaurant, they're all great. So, yeah, food is amazing there. I think the thing about going, I've been to Disney World a few times, and I went one time with my wife. This was many years ago now. But we just, you know, all the stuff you said, your attitude about Disney World, I had that feeling already. So then why did we decide to go there? Because I knew that in spite of all that, we'd have a great time. I can't explain it.
No, it's true though.
But it's maybe part of it is I'm somewhat conditioned to have all those buttons pushed. So I enjoy it even in spite of myself. But there are some genuinely good things there too. The food is fantastic. A lot of the stories that Disney, I don't like the version of the story that Disney tells, but I like the original story, so yeah. I like to be in an environment where those stories are being celebrated, even if I don't like that particular incarnation of the story. But also, there's things like the Haunted Mansion is great.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but it is. I would go to Magic Kingdom just for that. And Epcot's awesome.
Have you been since they got Star Wars?
No. Well, I mean, Universal has always had Star Wars forever.
Yeah.
And so the Universal that you saw, I'm sure I've seen
except it wasn't Universal. It's Disney Hollywood Studios.
Okay, well,
it's still another Disney park.
But
Universal's a separate thing.
In that same area, though, the Muppets are there and Star Wars is there.
Yeah.
Star Wars was there when we were there. But now there's going to be a big Star Wars, like a big Star Wars world or whatever.
Yeah.
Like there is for Harry Potter
hotel
or something.
And stuff like that, too. So, but they've already got a bunch of stuff. They had a show called Galaxy Far, Far Away that was a bunch of the characters came out. It was just, in a lot of ways, it was just a bunch of photo ops, but it was still fun to watch. Every character, different characters come out.
Sure.
And they also have the Order of the First March every hour, or the March of the First Order, sorry.
Okay, well,
and
obviously
it's this whole thing where they do that and they'd have pyrotechnics. But then they got the new Star Tours, which is cooler than the old Star Tours, but they also have Jedi training.
No, I don't think they had that last time.
Jedi training is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's for children many times a day. They have one or two days a week where they have adult ones. And the kids, you had to sign up in advance. Now, I think you might have to pay some more. Probably it's Disney. But they signed up in advance and all this. And the kids get their Jedi robes and they get a lightsaber. And they go up on this sort of stage thing, which looks like these old Star Wars ruins. And there's a Jedi Master, and a Jedi Knight apprentice of his.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach the kids lightsaber moves.
Mm.
I mean, they're similar, you know, from the left and from the right, but like specific sequences and things.
Sure.
And then they all use the power of the Force to make the doors to the temple open.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of mine, they say, it's just your fears. We're going to face our fears. Remember, none of this can really hurt you,
mm-hmm.
but we have to face your fears. And Darth Vader comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And now Darth Vader and Kylo Ren come out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have to face them, and they break into two groups, so each faces one, and they keep, Darth Vader and Kylo Ren keep saying lines like, your Jedi training has served you well, or like, you should join me and all this. Well, this is, there's a video of a girl who pledged herself to Darth
Vader. Oh, yeah, right.
That doesn't apparently happen much anymore, but that's the thing, and you have to go through, Darth Vader stands everything, and you go through the routine.
Yeah.
And then you win, or whatever. And then shit gets weird, and like the Jedi Master falls into the temple and he's gone and we don't know what's going on, and the young apprentice, who's a young woman, always a guy is the man, this young woman who's very like Rey and that kind of thing, she's mad, and so they all fight again and the kids help out, but then eventually she realizes that's the path of the dark side, and they all set down their weapons and all this and they force them back, and the Master comes out and it's great, and then the kids have to turn in their robes and their lightsabers and they get a badge that says they're now actually Jedi.
Sure.
And it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, see, that's another thing about Disney.
It would be dumb as hell for me to do. I would never be the adult one to do that. But the kids love it, and it's so awesome to watch it happen. Yeah. And again, it super feels real to them.
Yeah. Well, that's another reason we went to Disney World, was because we knew that however cynical you might be about what they're doing, they do it so well.
Absolutely.
The cast is so good. And the stuff they're doing, it's not, I mean, I can't explain it. I mean, you go to other places and people are performing in parks and it's like they're performing in parks.
Yeah.
This does not feel like that.
No.
They make it seem so real, even to you as an adult. And they just do it so well, and it's just very fun to watch. It just really is.
We waited in line so that we could meet Star-Lord and Baby Groot.
Okay.
And it's a photo op and stuff, and you can talk to him or whatever. And it was the most dude bro Star-Lord ever. Looked nothing like Chris Pratt. Had fucking mutton chops and shit. And he's trying his best. Don't get me wrong. Unless it was Chris Pratt, I don't give a fuck about Star-Lord. Okay. I was there for Baby Groot.
Okay.
And he figured that out real fast, because I was mostly ignoring him. So he kind of had to pay attention to it. And Baby Groot's over there. And Baby Groot's a blast, because he's like, I am Groot. And he'll play games with you and shit. He can play Pika Groot.
Mm.
Which the kids are totally into it. And I'll do things. You cover his face and he looks down, and then you go Pika Groot, and he looks up, and the kids are totally buying into this and all this. It's amazing. And I'm just watching him, and so you can see the pictures, and Trish is standing with Star Lord, and he's all, you know, whatever, and I'm just there hanging out with Baby Groot. And I was like, that was frat boy Star Lord. But yeah, the cast members really come. I mean, Trish had a great time with Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
After I left, she was still there for two more days, and they went and met Merida, and Merida was ridiculously psyched about them, because they had these t-shirts that they had made for the vacation the previous time, and it had like all their favorite things, and Merida's name was on there. She's like, where's my name? And she was really into that. Mm-hmm. And, they had a great time.
It's surprising, actually. I mean, you get there and you think, these people have been doing this all season, and they've met thousands of people, and they still act enthusiastic,
and
like waitstaff the same.
Yep.
It's like, how are these people so happy?
And there are exceptions, and I know this, because in Hollywood studios, in general, the cast members seemed way more happy than in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, okay, well.
But it's not the cast members that are playing characters. The ones that have to stand there all day and say, please move to the left.
Oh, sure, yeah, that's a good
point. And they look dead inside, and the ones in Hollywood Studios did not. And some of it has to do, because we have a friend who works there in Animal Kingdom,
oh.
and talk to her. And a lot of it, Magic Kingdom gets so many more people than the others. Like, the level of attendance in the different parks varies wildly. Mm. And so that's some of it, because you have too many people, and then it gets kind of crazy. But yeah, and the character, nobody ever drops character. Epcot, everybody is speaking the freaking native languages. And what I don't understand is there was an incredibly huge preponderance of guests in the international pavilions speaking the language of said international. Like, there were a bunch of Italian people in the Italian pavilion as guests to the park speaking in Italian. I still don't fully understand what that was about, but it was kind of cool. But yeah, Norway, they're getting our food and stuff, and they're just chatting back and forth in Norwegian. I know they were probably talking shit about me. I don't know. It was a blast. Yeah, so, I mean, all the shit I was worried about being bad was there. But there's a bunch of cool shit, too.
Yeah, it's...
And this is very fun.
When you think about it later, it does seem kind of surreal. But yeah, I recommend people... I mean... It's weird for me to recommend to someone to feed the machine that way, but the fact is you're going to have an interesting experience. You're probably going to meet someone interesting,
yeah,
and have an interesting conversation with that person.
And you actually learn some shit.
Oh, yeah.
You actually learn some interesting stuff about the early cartoon stuff.
Yeah.
The Japanese pavilion had a big, long thing on kawaii culture, and I knew a lot of that, but I learned a lot of stuff from that. It's interesting, and it's incredible people watching. It's people watching like you've never seen. And I found that fascinating. Just watching people in lines and how different people handle lines and stuff like that. And seeing the, like, which families should have gone home for an afternoon nap and which had no problems, like that kind of shit. Which family, you like, in each family you could tell whose idea it was to come.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I had some where I'm like, are those two a couple? They're both super excited and very close. Like, and they're just, because there's lots of adults who are just Disney obsessed as well.
Yeah.
And they were so, like, huggy and happy and all this. But I'm like, technically, I'm never seeing them kiss or anything. They could just be friends. And I forget, something happened and finally, like, they kissed or whatever. Like, okay, they are a couple. All right. So yeah, it's.
Well,
it's pretty
then,
cool.
And then you go into the shops and you see some pretty cool merchandise. Like,
yes,
you're like, man, I wish I was a Donald Duck fan because that's a cool statue or a cool robe or whatever
now,
it is. Some pretty.
You
cool
will
merch.
Pay $1,000 for a little tiny snow globe or something.
Ridiculous.
Trish was cold enough at one point because they were having record cold. It was freezing. It was below freezing the day I left.
No kidding.
Yeah.
In Orlando.
Yes.
Wow.
The low that night was like 29. Fuck them up. So we get cold night, and at one point Trish was so cold, we're still doing stuff in the park, and she just goes into a gift shop, and I see her looking at hoodies. I'm like, you just gonna buy a hoodie? She's like, I have to check. She's like, no, I'm not that cold.
Yeah, pretty expensive.
She saw the price tag, and she's like, I'll shiver for a little while.
No, but some of the stuff is just so nice. You know, I was like, wow, that's really cool, that thing. So yeah, it's an interesting experience, and it's an interesting American experience too. So that's another thing. If you're like you and I, we're very anthropologically oriented. So it's not just the people watching; it's the whole thing. Like, oh, this is what this experience is like.
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
And it is a very international thing. Like I said, both employees and guests from all over the world.
But through an American lens, definitely.
Very much.
And it's just interesting.
And
so
that,
interesting.
Yeah, the American pavilion in Epcot, way bigger than all the others. And also, boring as shit.
Why did they need one? That's what I could never figure out.
We were there during the Festival of the Art, and what that mostly meant, I mean, it meant there were cool art things and stuff like that, but is they had all these famous paintings, and you would get inside them and pose. So there's shots of us doing the Titanic pose on Washington crossing the Delaware. There's two different shots of us in Botticelli's Venus taking turns covering up each other's supposed nudity. We had one where there's Mona Lisa and Edward Munch's The Scream next to each other, and we posed like the paintings, and then we posed the opposite in the same painting, and that threw the photographer. He tried to get us to stop, and we're like, "That's the joke." He's like, "At least switch places." I'm like, "No, that's the joke." So that was fun too. But yeah, American Pavilion, huge, and who the fuck, like, there's nothing there. Well, and this is not the first time we have done this, people, but it might be the second or third time. We're going to have no questions tonight because we are already multiple minutes over time.
This is only the second time.
We had a month to catch up on, so.
And I wanted to hear all about your trip, yeah. So.
Before you leave, though, wait, I'm going to show you Wicked.
Okay.
But anyway, hopefully next week everything's just sort of back to normal. But in the meantime, thank you for living through our crisis. Sorry my voice is fucked up tonight. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.